Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks that we're here in your house today, and Lord, that we're thankful for the life and forgiveness that you give us each day. Lord, we ask now that as we turn to your word, that you would open our hearts. Lord, that your word would have an impact on our hearts, that it would travel from our head to our heart, and Lord, that we're able to express that then as we live out our lives in this world. Lord, we ask that you would rid our minds now of just a few distractions that we might have so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been going through the Believe series, I hope that as we may be learning a few new things along the way, that it's really just kind of... What's the word I'm looking for? It's reinforcing our understanding of our Christian doctrine, our Christian belief. You know, we are fortunate that we do believe in the true God, the true God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that God is involved in and cares about our personal everyday life. And that as He cares about that life, He brings us salvation that only comes through Jesus, His Son incarnate that stepped into this world to live among us. And that this word that we call the Bible is the true inspired Word of God. It has an intended meaning that we apply to our everyday lives as we live them in this world. As we've discussed, there's a few of these beliefs that are kind of hard to wrap our minds around, and we simply believe them because God's Word says it. Today, we're going to turn to identity and really our identity in Christ. And while this may seem fairly easy to understand, I think it's harder in practice to live this out. I want to just simply ask, I mean, when we hear the word identity, the word that usually falls behind that is not identity in Christ, but identity theft. Now, I don't know if any of you have fallen prey to that or not. I know that myself, I haven't had someone steal my identity because who would want that? But you know, I've had somebody use my debit card. They wanted what little money I had, which it overdrew me. But it was a couple of big purchases one time when I was in California that this happened. And maybe some of us have experienced that, where someone has gotten our credit card, debit card information. And so anyway, if we think about that, I thought, though, has anyone here ever had their identity stolen, like their driver's license number, their social security number? Has anybody ever had that happen? No. Your son did, okay? And so that's not a very good feeling. In fact, there's probably not too many people that are raising their hand, me, please, you know. But we just don't want that to happen to us. What?
You thought I did it.
Oh, yes, I called Stacy. I said, hey, have you made two $1,300 purchases on our debit card? And she said, no. I said, well, somebody did. But anyway, we just don't want that to happen. But yet I'm going to say, how often do we allow someone to place a different identity on us? Or how often do we place an identity on someone else? As we think about identity, you know, our world, and we talked about this in Bible class this morning, our world bases our identity on a lot of different things. In fact, I think there's three major categories that you could put this identity in. The first is the marketplace. And what I mean by that is consumerism. By what we have. People's identity on who they are by what they have. What kind of clothes they wear. What kind of car they drive. What kind of house they drive. And I was saying this morning, yeah, I would like to be able to... I watched the house renovation shows, you know, and I'm sitting there dreaming and drooling, you know, wishing I could rip out this wall and put this kitchen in. And we're always wanting more. We're not satisfied, but we're looking at what someone else has and wishing we had that identity. It may be based at school on if you've got the most up-to-date iPhone, right, or computer, or whatever, clothes we wear. Our identity is based in the marketplace, consumerism, the things that we have. And if we fall short of that, we feel inadequate. And a lot of times, people make us feel inadequate. The second area that I think we place a lot of identity on is what we would maybe call theater or possibly the Hollywood movie industry. Who wants a little pudge in their belly, right? We want those abs that we see advertised on in the advertisements. I mean, if we're not the right height, if we're short, if we're too short, if we're a little thicker than what we think we ought to be. I mean, we're always wanting the appearance of a movie star. Whether it's the looks or whether it's the body, whatever it is, we place a huge emphasis on it. And there's a huge amount of money spent on it. Think about the fitness centers that get millions of dollars. The cosmetic industry, the plastic surgery, things that people go through to what? Look a certain way. The final area is this. Can anybody guess it? What? Ball? Paul?
Mall.
Well, we've kind of hit that. What about? Yes?
Religion?
Well, unfortunately, I wish that were the case, but not. How about sports? How big is the sporting industry? And you see what happens is if you're not an athlete, this may just be my perception, but if you're not an athlete, you're looked at just a little bit differently. If you're not coordinated, if you don't have that athletic ability, you sometimes get overlooked. And, you know, the sporting industry, and I want to say I love sports, and I love to play sports, although the ability is declining a little bit. But I love to play them. I love to watch them. But I think we've gone way overboard. I mean, you can't even hardly pick a Sunday or a Wednesday to set aside for church activities anymore. That used to be just a given thing that those times were reserved, but not today. I mean, you can't even find a time where your youth can get together. And it's, I mean, we think sometimes this is on the professional level, but it's trickling all the way down. I know when I was in Missouri, it was all the way down to the peewee soccer and football. Had soccer games on Sunday morning during church hour. I couldn't even conduct my confirmation class that I taught for the church I did field work at sometimes because everyone was at their game on Sunday morning during Sunday school. The sporting industry is taking over. And here we're going to celebrate it next Sunday with a Super Bowl party, right? By the way, I might throw this announcement in. If anybody wants to get here about 7:30 in the morning, we'll be having a pre-worship tailgating before service. But if you think about it, isn't that true? How our whole identity is based on what? All these externals. I mean, we don't even care to look at someone's heart, how big a heart they have or how compassionate they have. And I'm going to even say, even if we did that, who could live up to it? I know I couldn't. I mean, there are times I would like to think I'm pretty compassionate, but then I think of some of the thoughts that run through my mind when people come in and want something. It's not very nice. So we have to train our minds to think differently about our identity. Our identity is where? In Christ. I want us to look at our key belief for today. If we can put that up on the screen. It says, I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Say that with me. I am significant because of my position as a child of God. If we turn to the Romans passage that we read just a moment ago, it said, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Do you know what happens when you're baptized into the faith? Do you know what happens when you hear the word and believe that Jesus Christ died for you? What happens? What does he make you? A child of God. You are a son of God. And this passage here says, not only are you a son, but then that makes you a what? An heir. What does an heir get? Usually what someone has to give them, right, that's left. What does God have to give you? As an heir. Forgiveness and eternal life. And so, we do not define ourselves. We do not say, who am I, based on all these externals, but we are defined, who am I? My identity is where? In Christ. The Bible passage, the memory verse, the key verse for today, if we can get that up, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Most of the time we don't like to talk about rights in this world because everybody thinks they have a right to everything. But here is one safe place we can use this word. I want you to read it with me. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are a child of God. We have that right, and our identity is in Christ, not in what the world says. I want you to stop and think about this for a moment, and I want you to maybe kind of picture this. And if you're one of those people that have to close your eyes to do this, close your eyes and visualize this for a moment. I want you to picture Jesus on the cross. And I want you to see that crown of thorns that is placed on his head, that has pierced his skin and the blood dripping off of his head. I want you to visualize and see the whole weight of his body hanging on those two nails that were driven through his hands. And I want, if you can, to maybe even audibly hear him gasping for his last breath as the weight of that body is just putting all of that pressure on his lungs. And as you see that, I want you to think about those times that you felt worthless. I want you to think about those times when you felt inadequate, when you've felt like you've been left out, when you've felt like you've heard people talking about you, laughing about you. Maybe it's your looks, maybe it's your weight, maybe it's your height. I want you to think about those times when when you've maybe been hard on yourself, I want you to think about maybe even when you've been made fun of because of the clothes that you were wearing, or you're not up to date and with your electronics. And I want you to look and visually see Jesus on the cross. Because when we see Him hanging on the cross, we see His love for you. You personally. How does that make you feel? It ought to make us feel incredible that we would have a God who loved us so much, did not place who we are based on what a world or a sea of people are saying, but simply on His love for us because of His Son. I want you to think about this for a moment. When we judge people's identity and who we are, even based on what we have and the externals of the world, where does that put us? That puts everybody really on a totally different level, right? Nobody really on the same level at all. But when we look at the cross and we see what Jesus did for us and we place our identity in Him, where does that put us? Everybody's on the same level. There is no one better than anyone else. There is no one richer than anyone else. There's no one that has more stuff than anyone else. Because we all have the forgiveness in life that Jesus promises us. It is very important for us to hear that and to know it. And yes, mentally know it, in our heart know it, and feel it. And not only for us to know it, but for us to begin to see people in that same way. I'll be honest, there are sometimes I can be the most judgmental person when I see someone walking down the street, riding a bike down the highway, or whatever. But for me, that's got to stop. I've got to see people as Jesus does. And could you imagine? Could you imagine what even a church body could be like if we began to really put this identity in Christ into practice? Next week, we're going to talk about the church. And I think that's why it's so important that we come into next week knowing who we are, that we are God's children, we are in Christ, and that everyone else is as well. Because the church can be a powerful tool in the world. We may not be able to change the entire world, and I said this in my Bible class, that Scripture is pretty clear we're not going to change the entire world. But we can certainly have an influence on the people around us and in our community. And I pray that, myself included, that we understand and know who we are in Christ and that we're able to convey that to the people around us. I would like for us to say one more time our key belief for this morning. We can change to that screen. I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Now I want you to say it like you really mean it. I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Amen.